Glad all the kids to come forward for a time with young disciples. Come on up, everybody. Good to have you up here. Good to see you. Gotta grab one other thing. All right. How many of you? Hello, Elise. Hello, Abby. Good to see you. How are you? May the forest be with you. That's cool. I like that t-shirt. Did you get to get outside and be in the forest at all this weekend? It's raining all day yesterday. Did you hear the thunder? Oh my gosh. Did you hear the thunder yesterday? Did you see any of the lightning? My goodness. It was quite a storm. It was shaking the house a little bit. Did it wake you up? No? Were you already up? Yeah. I was up and I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and I was listening to the radio and I saw the bolt of lightning like right outside the window and then I heard the and I thought for a second that it struck one of our trees and we were going to have big trouble. But thankfully, all was well. We were safe. Boy, school has started. Preschool has started again. Are you liking it? Let me ask you this question, Abby. Abby, do you have a Chromebook or a Kindle or an iPad? Do they use screens in their classes? A little bit. Do you have a Chromebook this year? Do you? Levi, do you have a Chromebook at preschool? Do they let you play with an iPad? Do you? Yeah. Do you ever watch videos on there? Have you ever watched YouTube videos? Sometimes I watch YouTube videos in order to learn things, like how to work on my bike or how to do different things around the house. And you can watch and learn a lot of different things by watching videos. But here's my question for you. Levi, how did you learn to eat? Did you read a book on how to learn to eat? No. Elise, did you learn to eat by listening to a podcast? No. Abby, did you learn to eat by watching a YouTube video? No. What about walking? Did you learn to walk by reading a book? No. You have any idea of how you learned to walk, Abby? Any idea? That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Many, many years ago. I bet I know how you learned how to walk. I bet you watched your mom. And I bet you watched your dad and your older brother and you watched other people walking and you thought, that's crazy. They're walking on 2 feet instead of walking around on their hands and their feet. And the same with you for eating. You probably looked at me and you looked at mom and you saw how we ate and we used this thing called a fork and a spoon sometimes. And sometimes we just picked it up with our hands like pizza or chicken, and we started to chew it and put it in our mouths. And same with you, Levi. You would watch your mom and your dad, and you would watch how they were eating food, and you would learn from them. Now, why is that all really important? Because Jesus says to us, do you want to see how to act in the world? Do you want to see how to love people? Do you want to see what it looks like to be kind and merciful? Look at Jesus. You know, we talked last week about getting your Bible and putting it by your bed. And we talked about having a Bible like the Message by your bed, but also this one. And maybe mom and dad can read stories to you. But you can go to 4 books in the Bible in particular, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they tell you about the life of Jesus. And when you look at the life of Jesus, it allows you to learn about how you can live your life. Like, should you be mean to other people? Should you forgive people when they hurt you? Yes. Should you try to listen to God even when you're at school? Yeah. So we look at Jesus and we see that Jesus gives us the best example on how to live. And ideally, your adults, like your parents, like me and Miss Amanda and you, like we show you a little bit too on how to behave like Jesus. And your Sunday school teachers and our church, but that's a pretty high model. So we want to keep going back to Jesus and think, okay, what is the example that he sets for us? All right? So maybe this week you can put that Bible next to your bed, or maybe you can ask mom and dad to read you a story And I tell you, the other really good one is The Message by Eugene Peterson for kids. That's a really good one too. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you have come to us in this life and you live like us. In Jesus, you became like us in every way. So help us to look to Jesus, to follow his example, and to live his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're in. All right. Thanks for coming up, everybody. I appreciate it. You made Pastor Wes feel better, too, when you come up. That way I've got some friends to talk to. We'll see you later on, okay? All right. I wondered post-Music Fest what the attendance from the families would be like. And I've told you before, but I mean, this is a good opportunity for us as a church to remember that being family means surrounding and being there for all of us. And I'll just, share for myself, transition is real. So be there for the younger families who are transitioning into school. You might ask them as you see them, what's one thing I can do for you or pray for you? And I just can't wait to get to Labor Day weekend. I feel like having that extra day is going to be nice. So here we are. We are into John's gospel again, and we've been tracking with this statement that we have set for ourselves. Do you know it? Say it out loud if you know what our mission statement is. Thank you, Mary Jane, to be a welcoming family of believers. And so we've taken each word and we've looked at it. What does it mean to be welcoming? What does it mean to be a family? And then last Sunday and today, we're talking about what does it mean to be a believer? And if you remember last week, we talked about in our culture, what is happening is we are fracturing and we're beginning to get into different positions, but how do we land on Jesus? And what does it look like to follow in the way of Jesus? That's our topic for this morning. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 14. We're going to read through verse 7 this morning. I think out of this passage, there's one verse in particular, verse number 6, many of us know very well. But the whole context here is Jesus is now at the point in his life where he is going on the mission to offer himself deeply and sacrificially for the disciples and for all of us. He's going to pour himself out even unto death. And consequently, anytime there is change, anytime especially we're moving into a situation where we perceive there to be suffering, we become anxious. And so naturally, the disciples have plenty of questions, and they want to know, how are they going to get through this? And Jesus is hoping here to assure them and to give them words that they can come back to and hold on to, and they are words of consolation. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas, not one to be afraid to speak up, said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Friends, this is for us through the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, what good news that you have come to us to be present to us and to give us direction. God, we yearn for guidance and we yearn to know that we are being brought along to a place that will end in reconciliation and homecoming. So thank you, Jesus, that you have come to us that we might have a place preserved for us to be where you are and where the Father is, that we might dwell in love and security and in peace. Be with us today as we challenge ourselves, as we seek to grow to be more like you. I ask that you would comfort us where we are afflicted, but afflict us where we are comfortable, that we might become your disciples. Use my words, and may you be with these people. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So a few months ago, I went to a hospital to pay a visit to somebody, and as it is nowadays, we have all kinds of different hospital options that you might end up at. So some people sometimes stay in town. There's Putnam County Hospital, but there's also IU West, there's Hendricks, there's St. Vincent's, there's St. Francis. I could just keep going. But consequently, this means that when you go to the hospital, each and every place is different. And sometimes, if you've been to a hospital recently, you might have no idea where in the world a person actually is that you're hoping to visit. And this was the case. I knew roughly where the person might be, so I show up, and I pull up, and I park in the parking lot, and I go through the door, and the person says, actually, you're going to want to get in your car, and you're going to want to go all the way over to the other side of the building and go through that door, and then someone there will be able to help you. So I get back in my car, I drive all the way around, I get out of my car, I go into the hospital, and I say, do you know where so-and-so is to the person sitting there at that very helpful concierge desk right there? And they say, yes, okay, they are in room number 236, so here's what you're going to want to do. And apparently, my eyes were getting a bit wider and wider as the person began giving me step-by-step directions. And eventually, this kind older man, he looked at me and he said, actually, let me just show you. So he stood up with me. He left his post. He was very mindful that he was going to leave it unoccupied for a little bit. And he began walking with me and began talking with me about who I was and why I was there. Yes, I'm a pastor and I'm here to see someone. And he's taking me down all these different corridors and these hallways. And I'm beginning to think to myself, I'm very grateful that I have this trusted advisor right here next to me guiding me in this path. And I go even further along. And the next thing I know, he's like, okay, we're going to go through this door. And I look, I thought, I would have never taken that door. And then we end up right there at the elevator. And he says, here you go. Just hit button number 2. And as you get out, you're going to go a little bit further down the hallway. And right there on your right is going to be door number 236. Thank you, Lord. So who do we look to in life to give us direction? This is the essential questions that Jesus is trying to answer for the disciples. And they're wondering, okay, Jesus, if you are leaving us, if you're going away, we don't quite comprehend everything that you're saying to us, but if you're going to leave us, who should we follow? And Jesus says to them very clearly, look at me, guys. Have you seen me? Have you been looking at my life? Have you been spending time and investing relational time with me? If you look at me, you will have the way to go. Do not forget this. So I think what is so powerful about this is it invites us to look at the life of Jesus. And again, what we want to do is not just pull out our scriptures here, but to go back, and I'm challenging myself, but I think I challenge all of us. Because in our culture, there's a lot of talk of Jesus. But how much actual looking at the life of Jesus is there? And so I've been going back into John's gospel, and there's three things that have been sticking out to me about the way that Jesus lives his life. I gave a book to somebody recently about how it's important that Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, because we have to follow the way of Jesus in order to get to that truth part and that life part. So the question is, again, how is Jesus living his life? There are three things that I think are so important for us to hang our hat on as far as the way of Jesus. And John, if you can go to the next slide. Three attitudes that Jesus adopts that I think are essential for us as Christians, what it means to be believers. So each of these has a statement about who Jesus is and the way that he lived his life, but it also has a counter question. And I want us to sit with both the positive but also the corrective piece. And this stuff is working on me just as much as it's going to be working on you. And so the first thing is, Jesus was engaged in the conversation. Did you hear me say it earlier this week in the email? Conversations are where Jesus shows up. Do you want to see God in your life? A lot of times it's the person that Jesus brings right before your face and allows you to see what's going on in their life, in their world. So do we care about the conversation? Look at John's gospel. Nicodemus, this established leader, a guy that had a lot of security in his culture and day, he had everything, and yet the Spirit's beginning to work on him and saying, maybe what you need is a bit more than what this world can give. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night and says, Jesus, you got time for a conversation? And Jesus doesn't say, I'm sorry, but my office hours, you're going to have to go sign up. He says, Nicodemus, tell me a bit more about what you're experiencing and who you are. The woman at the well. Did people like Jesus interact with women during that time? No. And yet he transgresses this border and this boundary, and he enters into what? A conversation with the woman. He says, tell me what's going on with your life. Tell me about where you have been sensing desire. Are you filling your desires with God or with other things? We all do that, right? We don't recognize that our deepest desire is for God, so we go and we try to satisfy it with different things out there in this world. The blind man later on in John chapter, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but Jesus enters into the conversation, and the contrary question to that is, am I more concerned about my agenda or my issue? Do you hear me? How many times do we walk into a conversation where we're really not willing to listen? Or let me say this to our culture. How many times are we just way too busy to actually be in conversation? The Atlantic had a journal last year. The title of the article was, Ugh, I'm So Busy. And the point of the article is we have lifted busyness into a cultural idol. It's our new status symbol. If you're important, you're busy. Oh man, I got so much on my plate. Oh man, I got so many things to do this week. And Silicon Valley is this new church of busyness. And then it filters out to the rest of our community. Are you too busy to have a conversation? Because Jesus takes time for the conversation. When we say we want to be a family of believers, what I mean is we want to believe in having deeper conversations. Why are we doing Second Saturdays? Because I have had incredibly deep conversations with people, again, right there next to a bounce house. There's other points that pop up in your week, and where is Jesus inviting you to step into a conversation that's going to make you lose control a little bit? Thursday, I saw Diana over at Meyer's Meat Market. And I also saw Jared Jernigan from the paper. And I've talked to Jared a few times at the Second Saturday events, but he was sitting by himself, so somewhat introverted Wes sees Jared by himself, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I could go sit by myself, sitting quiet. I could take my lunch somewhere. No. Jared, do you mind if I sit with you and eat lunch with you? We talk. And he tells me about what's going on at the Banner, and he's got to get all these fair results in, and his computer crashed. And at the end of it, we both look at each other, and we're like, man, thanks for the conversation. How many of us are yearning to be in conversation? And are we a church that's willing to be in conversation with other people? Just tied into that as well, are we more concerned about our issues than we are about really relating to people? Issues are changing. And the church has to change. We have to meet people in the new generation and be where they are. Number two, Jesus was focused solely on doing God's will. Do you care more about being liked by other people? So it's not just that he was conversational or relational. He wanted truth in a way where he spoke truth in love. And he really wanted to be with people in a deep way that got beyond the facades and got into the real stuff of life. That conversation with Nicodemus, that he just said, "I really like you, Nicodemus." No, he said, "You need to be born again. You need to let go of your power, and you need to let go of some of your stuff that you've accumulated, and you need to enter back into the attitude of a learner again." The woman at the well, "I tell you that you just haven't had one husband. You have had many husbands." And why does he do this? Because Jesus is concerned about doing the Lord's will. This is a huge one for me. And it's a huge one for a lot of us because we like to be liked by other people. So how many times in conversations do we kind of stop short because we're afraid of risking that next conversation or that next place in it? But Jesus continuously keeps going back to this idea of, "I am here to do whose will? My Father's will." And so what that means for us, I think, is both things. It's about being relational, but it's also about taking holiness seriously. It's about taking seriously that the spiritual life comes with discipline. And it means slowing ourselves down long enough to say, "What really is God's will for me as a person living in 2018 here in Greencastle, Indiana?" The last one is very much tied into it, but it's the same idea that Jesus was focused on the kingdom of God. And he wasn't concerned about the world. I've been thinking a lot, and I love to be, you know, active and to do things. But, you know, it's nice to have that stuff, but we almost need like something on our wrist that track the state of our soul. Like, I can put something on my body that measures my heartbeat and how many steps I've taken or how many calories I've eaten. But what about my eternal soul? What about the long game? What about the investments I'm making for the kingdom of God? And what we can stumble into, especially because we're a very materialistic culture, we're a consumerist culture, we can begin to focus on the world. And there's three P's that relate to this. So in regards to the world, and this was a good thing for me to come back to this last week, it comes down to power and pleasure and possessions. So you might ask yourself, what's your relationship been with those things recently? Are you trying to hold on to power? Are you willing to enter into the way of Jesus? Did you see that picture of Jesus washing someone's feet? The way of Jesus is to become humble and servant-like in the way that we serve other people. Pleasure. Are we more satisfied with the pleasure that we can get around us in this world? Or are we more dedicated to seeking the long-term game with Jesus where our investments are in him? And then finally, possessions. This is a big one for us as Americans. We have so much stuff. But we have to be very careful because all that stuff becomes idols. It becomes a means for us to cover up the fact that it's not fun to feel vulnerable. Nobody likes to feel vulnerable that I know. And yet to be a child of God is to put ourselves in a position where we say, at the end of the day, everything that I have does not matter if I do not have you. Because if I do not have you, when I go to die, I need to be ushered into new life. The other side of that, I think, is the great verse from Micah. So if we're counteracting, that's more of the negative sense, but if we're counteracting that and we're moving to the positive sense, if we want to seek the kingdom, we need to love justice, to do mercy, and to walk humbly with God. If you want three challenges for yourself this coming week, just let that be your exercise program. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. So again, I think all this stuff is wonderful, but again, this is where we're like Thomas. "Okay, Jesus, now we know where we're going. We know that you're the one. Now please help us." And what I didn't read, if you go on later on into John 14, Jesus is looking at his disciples and they're just like us. Their eyes are wide open. And he says, "Don't worry, guys. I'm going to send you a paraclete. I'm going to send you a helper so that you have this one to help you in this path." But these become the marks that we hope to make. So to believe is to believe in the way, the truth, and the life.